Recording?
Yeah, recording.
So this is Mom's Basement Podcast, episode 20.
Mom's Basement.
Wow.
Episode 20.
Mike is not here today.
Nope.
So we're going to be playing a Tuesday.
Yep.
And in honor of episode 20, this is actually the first time we're going to be doing an actual play of a game that isn't ours.
Yep. This is Brett Gillian's Cold Soldier.
Mm-hmm.
Did I pronounce his name right? Oh, no, I didn't. It's Brett Gillian.
Brett Gillian.
Yeah.
And you made a mistake somewhere else also in the title. This is Brett Gillian's Ronnie Award-winning Cold
Soldier.
Oh,
yeah, that's true.
I'm going to be on the title of the book, I'm sure.
Fucking A.
Ron Edwards' stamp of approval.
Yep.
So, my mouth is full of sandwich.
Also, Cold Soldier is a game about basically a soldier.
Least professional podcast on internet.
On internet.
Even when there's just two of us.
Yep.
Awesome.
There you go.
Fuck it. Okay.
Let me just read the intro here because I think the intro is pretty good at saying what it's about.
Okay.
The Dead Walk. A dark master has called the recently buried to serve in his army, to avenge the wrongs committed against him. You are one of these beings. You shamble on, tearing apart anything in your path to achieve the task he has given you. His order is tolling in your mind over and over like a bell. So it's some Pavlovian shit, basically.
Conditioning, yeah.
A soldier in his army, a skull that sees once more because of his will. But who you were still glimmers in your mind. Perhaps you can resolve the things left undone. Perhaps you can save those you love. Perhaps, shattered fragment that you are, you can still make who you were a greater person. Yep, so that's Cold Soldier.
Okay. So, I think we've got this game down thematically. I mean, we talked about it a little bit on our Ronnie's podcast before.
Mm-hmm.
And I said I really like this game.
I like this game, too.
Particularly well-made game. I like the, thematic, you know, juncture of the mechanics and the theme. I guess. Mm-hmm. I like how well the mechanics fit the theme of the game.
Yep.
And I like how simple the mechanics are.
Yeah, I like the ease of use of the mechanics. I think that's
pretty cool. I think is something that's really ideal when it's a twosie, when it's a two-player game.
Yeah, it's kind of pick-up-and-play type of game.
Because that's a situation where you're actually going to play a twosie. It's like, oh, shit, you know, our whole group has other stuff to do today. Which is incidentally what happened today.
Yeah, and it happens a lot of times.
With us, yeah. Boy, it's amazing that people would not want to play with us.
Yeah, it is.
Absolutely shocking.
Shocked.
Okay. So the first step is what? Creating the master and the soldier?
Yep. You and the GM should decide two things. The Dark Master, who he is, basically, is he a powerful sorcerer, a genius scientist, or a vengeful god? The time, the past, or the present? So you can't be in the future. It has to be in either the past or the present. It says determine as many details as you need to feel comfortable in the setting.
Now, when he says past or present, I assume he's also including, like, fantasy past.
Yeah, I guess so.
I guess?
I think so, yeah.
Because that's the implication I get here, is that, you know, this is also for a medieval kind of fantasy play.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe I'm just judging by the illustration.
Yeah, the illustration is pretty
badass. The whole Dark Master, Necromancer thing.
Mm-hmm. But it doesn't have to be a Necromancer. It says it could be a, well, I guess by definition it has to be some kind of Necromancer.
Right.
But it could be a scientist, so you could have like a super setting, or you could have like it could even be God, so you could have like Ezekiel.
That's interesting.
Yeah, it is.
That's a pretty cool idea, actually.
Yeah.
Well, so what do you want to do? You said you wanted to be the soldier. You called soldier.
Yeah, I called soldier already.
Mm-hmm. So let's pick the setting first, because that's going to help us determine who the master is.
Mm-hmm.
A contemporary setting seems more interesting to me than an old-school fantasy one.
Mm.
Unless it's a particularly peculiar fantasy setting, or so a like historical setting.
So basically like a modern, I'm trying to think what kind of modern, like undead and a rat type of thing.
I don't know, rat. I mean, we've gone to rat quite a bit.
Yeah, we have.
I don't know, let's get, we should be about the recession. This guy should be like,
some soldier.
Military scientist or something who got his pay froze and got laid off because of the government cutbacks during the recession.
Okay.
Or maybe he should be working for some independent firm that downsized or whatever because of the recession. And now he's like pissed off because he doesn't have a job. So it's basically like
a mad scientist.
Like the guy who gets laid off from the post office and comes back and shoots everyone, except he's laid off from DARPA or whatever.
Yeah, that'd be pretty cool.
I don't know.
So why is he making soldiers?
Because he's crazy. He's just mentally ill.
Yeah, genius scientist, that fits. So what's the setting, the rest of the setting like?
I don't know.
Like, where is he actually using the soldiers at?
Hmm.
They should be walking through the wasteland of Detroit.
Like, and nobody knows that they're
and
there.
Nobody notices them because it's Detroit.
Yeah, that's what this guy should be. He should be like an auto worker necromancer. I don't know how he's got his necromantic abilities. Maybe it's like voodoo or something. Maybe he's a Haitian immigrant. the son of Haitian immigrants, so I don't have to try to do the accent.
Right.
Who, like, has been working on the auto assembly line since his family immigrated. You know, his dad got a job fresh as an immigrant working for Ford or whatever, or Chrysler.
Chrysler, yeah.
And, and then he just got into the family business, and he's been working on the assembly line.
And then
he gets laid off during the downturn of the recession.
And he gets into voodoo?
He finds his dad's old voodoo shit, or his grandpa's old voodoo shit, and raises one zombie in order to get, like, revenge on the auto executives or whatever who laid him off.
Oh, okay. That makes sense. I like that.
Makes as much sense as anything involving necromancy.
Necromancy. Yeah. So what are you? You are dead. We've established the setting.
Okay.
So now the next part is what are you? You are dead and rotting or rotted. You will not deteriorate to uselessness. Your dark master prevents that. You cannot speak or communicate with other beings. At all. No gestures, no writing, no emphatic grunting. Oh, I can't grunt? Oh, it is beyond you. Your memories still flicker in you, though. Perhaps you will act on them.
So this is totally narration, then. I guess there's no dialogue.
There's no dialogue, yeah. Write down the following on a piece of paper. Cause of death. Old age, injury, illness, suicide, homicide. Well, obviously it has to be homicide.
This is Detroit. Okay.
Okay, so cause of death.
Yeah, you should determine this since you're the soldier.
Yeah.
I mean, I know this game kind of blurs the GM player role, but it makes more sense to have the GM create the master since he's playing the master, and then the person playing the soldier to play the soldier.
That makes sense, yeah. Okay, weapon. You are a soldier in the army of one who can command the dead. In returning to life, he has also armed you with a weapon. This is not a sword or a gun. This is, it can't be a gun. This is some way in which you have emerged from the grave as a more terrible creature. What is it?
See, this dude's been working on the auto assembly line, so I'm thinking spare parts from, like, a car. You know, maybe he's got wheels or something.
Oh, yeah, yeah, see, that'd be pretty
and
cool.
And a grill? Well, two grills, yeah, maybe, now.
Maybe he's pimped out or something like that, yeah.
Yeah. Pimp my ride shit. Maybe he's got, like,
what he should be is he should be chromed. He should be made out, he should be actually literally chromed.
Should have a 13-inch TV in his chest.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, I like the idea of him being chromed. Maybe he's got a little hood on him, man, or something.
Right. No, what is? How does that?
He should definitely have a grill though, because he's still from Detroit.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, he's got a grill. Chrome soldier with grill. Now, how does that make him a more terrible being? I guess, like, if somebody tries to hit him or whatever,
yeah,
he's chrome.
Damn,
man,
yeah,
man.
And if he smacks them up,
yeah,
chrome,
man, chrome. Yeah, so. Okay, how do you fight? Alone, in a group, or in a horde? I guess I fight alone, because I'm the chrome soldier. I fight.
Yeah.
I shadow box people. Box them out with a pen and whatever.
Yeah.
Alone. Okay. Take a deck of cards and split it into two halves. In one half, shuffle and a joker card. Mix up the cards so that you do not know where the joker is. Now place the other half of the deck on top of it. This is the draw deck.
That was supposed to be on the bottom half of the deck, then.
What was?
The joker card.
Yeah, it was.
Oh, that's
really...
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Should be. Okay, so his...
So you put the half without the joker on top.
On top, yeah.
Okay, I thought it was the other way around initially. Okay.
Yeah.
So we've already done that.
We've already done that. Okay, so the GM will tell you the task that the Dark Master has given you. He will say what you are doing to try to accomplish it. This will be the first scene of the game. Play out this scene, you say the actions of the dead thing. The GM describes the world and the creatures in it.
The creatures in it?
The creatures in Detroit.
Okay, so I... So, I guess you're inside the Dark Master's garage.
Yeah.
And it's in, like, you know, one of those run-down Detroit neighborhoods where you still have the small single-family homes.
Hmm.
Kind of like the beginning of Gran Torino, where neighborhood where Clint Eastwood's character lives.
Right.
You know, and this is his dad's house.
Right.
And daddy's dead. And so he's inherited the house. And I guess he has you, like, propped up in a chair in the garage. You know, on one of those metal folding chairs.
Right.
Oh!
Oh, I grunted. I'm sorry. I can't grunt.
Yeah. Maybe we should try doing this straight-up narration, then, without role-playing.
Okay, that'll work.
So, he's going to send you... He's sending you on a preliminary task to try to figure out.
He's sending me to, like, rob some guy's house or something.
Well, I was thinking he's going to send you down to the liquor store to pick up a six-pack.
Yeah.
You know, just to see how you work. And also because he's afraid to leave his house and go to the liquor store because it's after six.
Yeah.
So, let's see what happens then. So, I guess the obstacle would be... Going and picking up a six-pack?
Yeah, I guess. So I get to say what I'm doing to accomplish it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to cut through a few alleys.
Okay.
And I'm going to have some kind of disguise on, like a trench coat or something.
Okay.
Just
the
so
superhero
I,
trench coat.
Gotta have the superhero.
That conceals
trench.
Everything.
And I'll have a ball cap or some shit.
Right, it's always the trench coat and the ball cap.
Yeah. So I'm going to cut through a few alleys, and I'm going to climb up, scale a building, so I can try to scale an abandoned building or something,
mm-hmm.
so I can get a better look at the area to make sure there's no,
right.
you know, perps or cops.
Now, the liquor store was like a block and a half down the street.
Oh, yeah, no, I'm doing this regardless.
Right, okay.
Yeah, because it's just not safe otherwise. So I'm going to... I'm going to jump from building to building to get to the liquor store, then slide down the roof of the liquor store.
Okay, we'll say while you're jumping from building to building, I guess these are, what, abandoned factories or abandoned homes? Yeah, you land on one that's been abandoned for a while, and it's already started to decay, and the roof gives way.
Ooh,
so that's your obstacle, I guess, is to not fall through the hole in the roof.
Yeah, okay. Okay, so the GM, to accomplish the task, the GM flips the top card of the deck. This is the obstacle.
Okay. 8 of hearts.
Okay, now I may flip the top card to defeat it.
Okay.
So I'm going to. 7 of hearts.
So you didn't.
I didn't defeat it. If the card you draw is not of a higher value, if you can find a way to work your weapon into accomplishing the task, you may draw another card. So I'm going to try to work my weapon.
Okay, now... I had a conversation. Brett was concerned that basically it's too easy for the for the soldier to win these situations because he can always work his weapon in.
Right.
And he has the ability to draw a card by summoning up one of his memories. So he always has 3 cards to the GM's 1. So what we're going to do now is use the errata...
Oh, yeah.
That I suggested, which is...
this is all posted on the forge, by
right,
the way.
Right. Which is that if you use your weapon, the GM gets to draw a card, too, to use later in the game.
Okay, so I'm going to narrate how I use my weapon. I just say, basically, since I'm just falling, I roll myself into a ball and kind of make a... almost like a wrecking ball type thing with my body, and I slam through like the different levels of the building and land on the bottom one, and I'm not hurt because I'm made of chrome.
Okay.
Basically.
So you're using your weapon then. Do you want this card to replace the old one, or do you want to get both of them? Because the original rules let you use the 7 that you have and the 1 that comes up and pick the 1 that's better. But he said in his errata post that he was considering having the new card replace the old one.
Okay. I'll have it replace the old one.
Okay, so we'll play with his errata then.
Yeah.
So flip the card.
8. So I
tie. 8.
GM wins ties, though, right?
GM wins ties under his errata. I don't know what the old rules say.
Yeah, I don't think it said anything about ties, so...
So you just got...
I just got fucked up by
something. Bone, basically.
Yeah.
So what does it say if you fail?
Okay, if you fail... let me see. Okay, if you have a card higher than the GM's, you accomplish the task. If you have a card lower than the GM's, you fail at the task. If you have any cards in your hand, you must discard one. I don't have any cards in my hand.
Okay.
Yep.
And then what's the next thing?
It says you may also... take any card and place it in your hand if you narrate a memory.
Do you want to narrate a memory?
Huh, I could. I'm going to, yeah, actually, I'm going to say I narrate a memory of...
Okay. Now, here's a rules point. If that, do you have to either use that card now to win this or discard it? Or do you, because...
It says you can place it in your hand, so I'm assuming...
But I mean, do you have to discard it because you lost the...
because I lost
the
talent.
You lost the task.
I'm not sure on that, actually.
Because that would happen during the task, so I would say you would have to use it to win the task? Or
you'd have to use it to win it, yeah.
Okay.
So, yeah, I'm not sure on that.
Maybe Brett can give us some clarification on this in the future. Well, what memory were you going to narrate?
I was
going to
narrate, like, this is my house, basically. Like, I used to live here, and I remember... basically playing Xbox with my homies and pouring a 40-ounce out for a dude that just died.
What game were you playing on Xbox?
We were playing, like, fucking Gears of War or something badass. And, so we were...
Now, you were just buried, so it must be Gears of War 2 you were playing.
Yeah, we were playing that. Yeah. Yep. And this house has since been foreclosed on, and I guess... it's not lived in anymore, and so he gets kind of bleary-eyed at the fact that he's in the house where his homie was, and yeah.
Okay.
Roger.
And then he goes through the floor and lands in the basement.
Yeah, okay.
Right, right.
We'll say as you go through the floor, you collide with the hot water heater, and you break the pipes open, and the basement starts filling with water.
Uh-oh, so that's another task, or another obstacle, I guess, huh?
Yeah, so now you're like ankle deep in water, and it's getting deeper.
Okay. Hmm.
And the Dark Master, like, how does he communicate? I guess psychically?
Yeah, is it telepathy or something, maybe?
He sends you a telepathic comment, like, hey man, I'm
Where's
thirsty.
My 40 ounce or whatever?
You know?
Yeah.
So, okay, we flip the obstacle first, which I guess is the water rushing in. One thing that kind of bothers me about this is there's no way to gauge the difficulty of the obstacle and then apply that to the game of war. You know, the game appraises all obstacles as being equal difficulty, basically.
Right.
But, and you know, being in ankle-deep water and having to wade the stairs isn't quite as difficult as, say, you know, facing the army of the Viking Lord one-on-one, or one against 100,
That's true. But I think maybe it's because this game assumes that you're going to be a soldier in an army, so...
The obstacles you're going to face are going to be real obstacles.
Right, yeah.
And not simply...
Not getting a 40-ounce or
whatever. That's true. Yeah. So I flipped over at 10.
Okay. I'm going to say that I'm going to narrate how I solve it. I'm going to break down the door to upstairs and try to run out, basically. Mm-hmm. Flip over. Oh,
King. Yeah.
So I got Frog King.
You bust that door down and you get out of the row house. And you get out of the row house and immediately you see you're right by the liquor store.
Oh, okay.
Standing. It's right on the corner there next to the row house.
Okay. I enter the liquor store. And since I can't speak or make gestures, I just enter the liquor store. And I just stand there looking at the guy.
Guy behind the counter gives you shifty eyes. He's like, you here to buy something?
I'm not going to say anything.
You think you're going to just stare me down? Oh, you're going to stare me down. You know how many gangbangers I have come in here every fucking day try to stare me down? What, you want me to open up the register for you? Fuck you, buddy. If you're going to buy something, buy it. Put some money on the table and get out.
I'm going to pick up the liquor bottle, set it down, and then hand him some money.
He takes your money. That's more like it. Puts it in the cash register. Makes change for you efficiently, gives you your change, gives you your receipt.
Mm. Now let me see. Oh, I don't have any cards in my hand. I was going to try to resist and take the 40 ounce for myself. I don't have any cards in my hand, so I can't.
Okay. Well, you could narrate a memory in order to get
it. I could narrate a memory. That I could. So I'm going to do that, actually.
Okay.
I'm going to narrate a memory of me being in the...
Now, a quick question. Can you narrate a memory when you're not in a resolution scenario?
See, that I'm not sure about.
What does it say?
It says you may take a card and have a... Nope, it says you may also take any card and place it. But this is under, did you accomplish the task?
Yeah.
Yeah. The memory must be a figment of your life. Oh.
See, but I don't see any reason why... Wait, I have an idea.
Mm.
So the door opens up, and a dude comes in.
Mm.
A skinny dude wearing a, really filthy hoodie. And he's got the crack shakes, you know?
Mm.
And he's got a gun in his hand.
Yeah.
And, you know, it looks... It's an old gun. You know, it's like an old .22.
Yeah,
he goes up to the guy at the cash register. He's like, hey, bro, you're going to open that shit up and you're going to give me everything that's in there. All right? Then he turns to you. He's like, get on the fucking floor. Give me your wallet. Get on the floor. Come on. What are you waiting for? What are you waiting for? So I think this guy's an obstacle.
Okay. I'm going to... Dust off my...
Dust your shoulder off?
Yeah.
Okay. So okay. What are you going to try to do to this guy?
Okay, well, first we got to flip over the obstacle card, right?
Okay. He's a two.
Okay, yeah, so he's a poor crackhead. Okay, I'm basically going to... I'm going to sit there and let him shoot me. If he wants to. Or if he... Mm-hmm. Assuming he's going to shoot me. And then I'm going to... angle myself so the bullet bounces off of my chrome and hits okay. him in the chest.
Now, are you going... You flip your card before you draw, right?
Yes. If I want to okay. narrate a memory, yeah.
Okay. Seven. So, yes. That's a success. Are you going to narrate a memory?
Yeah, I am. I'm going to narrate a memory of the time,
Okay, so he's going to fire a shot at you.
Yeah.
And the bullet comes out, and it bounces off your chrome chest.
Hmm.
And lands on the ground. He's like, shit!
Okay, now that brings... That conjures up a memory of a time that I was in the Korean grocery store.
Mm.
And I was chased... I was nearly chased out by the shopkeeper who had a gun.
Mm.
And he managed to tag my friend with the gun and wound him severely.
Okay, is this the same friend you poured out for?
This is the same friend that we poured out for. Yeah. Yeah. Except he died later. He didn't die that day.
Right. Did he die of his wounds that
day?
No,
he was just paralyzed or something.
Oh, okay. So later he gets shot to death.
Later he gets shot to death.
Someone shoots him out of his wheelchair.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Yep. So I narrate that memory and I hold that in my hand.
Okay. Do you show that to me or not?
I don't think you do.
Okay, so put it face down so I can.
It says, hold on to this card. This card is no longer in play.
Hmm. Oh, you draw up the card that, you narrate the memory to draw up the card that's
down. Oh, that's down. Okay.
That's what I think. Yeah, because it says no longer in play, so you're drawing up this card if you want it.
Right.
So really you want to narrate a memory to take a card like, say, that king,
yeah.
And then we flip over this next card, and this next card becomes
your card for resolving this.
Okay.
Yeah.
So this thing resolves with the nine, which still means he shoots you and it bounces off of it.
Right.
Because you succeeded. Okay.
Yeah. Oh, excuse me.
Okay.
Okay, so I'm now walking back to,
So you just push the dude out of the way.
Yeah, I just push his body out of the way.
As you're walking out the door, you hear another gunshot, and do you look back?
Sure.
You see the crackhead lying dead on the floor.
Nice.
The dude had gotten out. You, offered enough of a distraction for the liquor store cashier to get to his shotgun and blow him away.
Hmm. Yeah. So I did a good deed.
And you hear sirens coming.
Uh-oh. Tyrants. Okay.
Okay. So you're just going to walk back.
I'm just going to walk back to it. I'm not going to bother to climb or do anything like that. I'm just going to walk back.
Okay. So you get back to the master who takes his booze. And... What is he going to have you do now?
What did things to do in Detroit when you are dead?
Yes. Yeah, we should have set this in Denver.
Yeah.
Well, he wants to get you into the assembly line there, into the factory.
Hmm.
Or even into, I guess, the headquarters is where he really wants to get you.
Hmm.
In order to get his revenge on the corporate people who laid him off.
Right.
So what are you going to need in order to do that?
I'm trying to think, maybe a ride downtown, maybe.
That's a good point.
Actually. I mean, I don't know how else would you...
Yeah, and we'll say even though this guy worked for the car company, you know, for Chrysler, he couldn't afford a car, so he doesn't have a ride downtown. So he's going to send you, he's going to send you down to the bus stop to get on the bus.
Yeah.
Go downtown.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm going to walk down to the bus station, wherever that is. I'm probably going to have to walk quite a ways to get to
the... Probably. The bus stop is never close by.
And I'm going to... I'm going to walk to the bus station without incident, basically.
Okay.
Yep.
So you get to the bus stop, and you see, no one's waiting at the bus stop right now, but the cops do a little, you know, ride by
real slow, yeah.
Just to see what's going on, because it's one of those bus stops, you know.
Yeah.
And they do that, and you see the cop looks back at you and does a double take.
Hmm. I'm going to put my head down.
Possibly because you're chromed.
Yeah.
So the obstacle will be...
Would he even do a double take?
Well, you're also wearing a trench coat, so you could be carrying a concealed
weapon. Oh, that's true, yeah.
And you're chromed.
Yeah. I'm just going to look down with my... Yeah.
Okay. We're going to make that an obstacle.
Okay.
Seeing that seeing if you avoid getting into shit with the cop.
Okay. Get into shit.
Cop,
Jack.
Get a jack. I pulled a jack. Jack of, what?
Jack of
spades.
Yep. So yeah, I'm gonna try to kind of tip my hat down to 10.
Fail.
Yep. So it looks like I'm in some shit with the law now.
Oh, you also used your weapon once before, and I never drew a card.
You never, put one in your hand, so yeah.
Oops.
Okay.
You're in some shit with the law. Are you going to try to use your weapon? Or are you going to,
I'm going to, I'm not going to try to use my weapon yet. I'm just going to see what the cop does.
Okay, you see the cop turns his sirens on, pulls over, and he gets, he doesn't get out of the car, he rolls the window down for us. So. Hey, son, everything all right?
Not going to say anything, just keep my head down.
Hey, I'm talking to you.
I'm going to conspicuously take off my hat to let him see that my head is all made of chrome.
Damn! Boy, you homies. Never ends with you, right? Guy down the street gets one of his teeth replaced with gold. Next, everyone's got to have their whole jaw gold, and I guess this is the next natural step, right?
Mm-hmm.
Just how you hood boys get down. Mm. You're not going to say anything to me? Why? Jeez, it's like 6 p.m. What are you doing standing on this corner? Hey, you going to talk to me? You slanging? Is that what's going on?
I'm going to open up my trench coat and show that there's no drugs inside.
Yeah, I've seen that one before. Get against the wall.
I'm going to do it.
He's going to pad you down. He's going to turn up all your pockets, look in your trench coat, feel your legs. Man, kid, you smell. Stink like death. You gotta get yourself home and take a shower. Tell your mama she needs to buy some fucking soap, alright?
I'm gonna put my hat back on.
Well, you're clean. Show more respect to police officer, though.
I'll tip my hat.
He's just gonna snort. Fucking kids. He's gonna get back in his car and he's going to flash his lights on quickly again and then do the corner at like 85 miles an hour.
Oop.
Okay.
So does the bus eventually...
Yeah, the bus gets there.
Nope.
You see the bus is full.
Oh, yeah.
You know, with crying kids and...
Yeah.
People who look like they're pretty much hungover.
Mm-hmm.
There are a few people who are just trying to get home from work, you know, they've got their shopping bags and shit.
I'm going to climb aboard the bus and...
And the guy at the boss is like, whoa, gotta pay your fare, buddy.
I'm gonna hand you some money.
Charity here. I'm not gonna touch that. Put it in the slot.
Oh, okay. I put it in the slot.
All right. So you're gonna walk on the bus?
Yep.
There's no seats open.
I'll stand.
Okay, you'll grab the bar.
I'll stand next to some, like, old lady or something.
You see, she backs, takes a couple of steps away from you.
Yeah.
You see some dude sitting, like, next to you on the bus with his girl, like, leans over to you. He's like, damn, Holmes, you smell like death. What the fuck?
I'll just tip my hat to him.
You see another dude next to him is like, hey, maybe he's like the dude in the Lupe Fiasco song. And then his friend's like, nah, Holmes, can't you tell the difference between reality and fiction? Jeez.
Yeah.
See, the bus goes to the next stop, which is like the college stop. A whole bunch of half-drunk kids get on and start, like, running into you, and one of them, like, falls on the lap of some other guy instead of sitting down. And since they can't find a seat, they're all hanging off the bars and stuff, and slipping and sliding every time the bus starts and stops.
Yeah.
You see someone next to you is like, hey, man, can you spare a light? Spare a cigarette?
Tip
just one. Aren't you an uppity fucker? What, you just, yeah. Better than me? Come on. Just one cigarette. That's all I'm asking for.
Actually, I'm going to take my hat off and show that I'm chromed.
God damn. Man, now I know you've got a cigarette. Just gonna...
Put back on, tip it.
Just gonna sit there? Just gonna stand there? No compassion, I guess.
Uh-oh.
He's gonna kind of push you a little bit. Come on.
Uh-oh. Here comes the epic beard man fight. Vietnam!
Come on. Just one? Man, you're not even gonna do me the dignity of talking to me? Oh, it's like that, huh? I'm that far below you.
Tip the hat.
Got a chrome rod up your asshole, too? Is that what this is about? Hey, man, I had bling one day, too. You have no idea. You gotta think. Someday you're gonna be like me. Someday you're gonna fall. You're gonna be begging people on the bus for cigarettes and just gonna stand there. Man, fuck you! And he shoves you again.
Okay.
And it's clear that he's trying to get into a fight with you. Yeah.
Okay.
8.
Okay. I'm going to basically shove him back and try to shove him through the window of the bus.
Okay.
Come on.
Three. Now, you could work your weapon into this one if you wanted to.
I could. I'm going to say I hit him closed fist with my chrome fist.
Thing style?
Yeah, exactly. And use it kind of as brass knuckles, or in this case, chrome knuckles.
Try to knock his head back through the glass?
Yeah, basically knock his teeth out or something.
Okay.
Okay, so I flip it and then do what now?
You flip it and I draw a card.
Okay.
So that's a king.
Yep. So I managed to basically knock his teeth through his head.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You see the bus driver stops the bus. He looks back. What the hell is this? Get off my fucking bus. You can't do that.
Tip my hat.
Hey, someone has to mop that shit up. Get the fuck out of my bus. Get out!
I don't understand, so I just sit there.
I'm not going to get up. Get out. I'm not starting this bus until you fucking get out. You can't do that. Not on here. And the guy whose teeth has been knocked fucking... God. Bastard.
There's got to be two or three kids there getting it on webcam. Or
yeah, they've got their phones
cell
out.
Phone out.
The drunk college kids. You see one of the girls
holy shit.
Practically lying on the floor at this point, has it angled up to get the best shot.
Yeah.
And you see got the guy who was talking to you before is like, man, I just want to get home, bro. Get up. Get out of the car.
Okay, I leave the bus.
You leave the bus, okay. Yeah. You see it pulls out almost immediately after you stop. You see they've let you out. Where should they let you out? I guess they let you out at, like, the mall stop.
I'm going to wait for another bus to come. Because you said get on the
bus.
Get on
the
bus,
yeah.
I can't disobey. Well, I could, but I've got a shitty car, so I'm not going to bother.
You see another bus comes. See, it's a female bus driver. She opens it up.
Okay.
And you see there's a woman with her kids waiting at the stop, too, and she gets on. And then you get on, and you discover you don't have any money for the fare.
No.
Because you used all your change from buying the 40 on the first bus.
Now, how much is a bus fare? It's like 125 or something?
Yeah.
For this bus?
Yeah, 125, 150.
I'm going to try to scrape some of the chrome off my scalp and then crush it into coin-sized...
See, these kind of situations is why you do need some kind of resolution system for when someone tries to do bullshit.
Well, no, this is using your weapon. Yeah, because I'm using my...
But you're trying to crush your chrome basically into pennies.
Oh, into coins,
into coins that will be recognized as currency by the machine?
Vaguely. Is it a machine there?
Yeah,
or
it's
just...
one of those automatic sorting machines, you know, that they have in most of the city buses now.
Huh.
And those things, you know, even recognize if you try to shoot a Canadian dollar.
Oh, you're right, yeah, so that probably wouldn't work. Yeah. I'm going to try to search around the ground for some coins.
Okay. King. Nah, no one's leaving change on
that
bus.
No. Yeah, so I search around the ground. Nope.
Five.
Didn't find shit.
Now, is there some way you can work your weapon? You can also have a memory.
I could have a memory, yeah.
But that would just pick the five.
Pick the five up, so that's kind of shitty. Trying to think, how can I work my weapon out of this?
That's going to be kind of difficult.
I can't talk, so I can't, like, spit game at her or anything like that.
Nope.
Oh, actually, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to wait until the bus closes up, and then basically jump, then roll under it, and jump on the, grab onto the, you know, the muffler or whatever, and hang on. To the bus.
Okay, using your weapon.
Using
my
weapon.
Using your chrome.
You know, I'm going to use my chrome to protect myself so I don't die.
Okay, so you're just going to let... You're going to get off the bus then.
Right, yep.
And, okay, she closes up the bus and you can flip your card.
Okay, that's... Oh, shit.
For five. Yeah, so basically you fall off the bus as it drives away because you weren't holding tight enough.
Oh, damn.
Or you get scraped along the gravel for like... half a mile, and then you fall off the bottom of the bus. Now, if you lose...
You lose the card in your hand.
Okay.
I believe.
Yeah, if you have a card lower than the GM, you fail. You have any cards in your hand, you have to discard one.
Discard.
You lose your seven.
Yep. Okay, well, I'm fucked. I'm just going to wait for another bus to come and try it again.
Try the same thing?
Yep.
Okay, so you grab on. Challenge is a six this time. I guess you've learned.
Oh, motherfucker.
You can use your weapon. Oh, I didn't draw a card last time you used
your
weapon.
Oh, you're right, yeah.
No.
Man, you're going to have such an awesome fucking poker hand.
So do you want to use your weapon again?
Yeah, I'm going to try to use this, do the same thing. Might as well.
Okay.
Oh, okay, there we go.
There you go, Jack. I got... Now might also be a time to have a memory so you can get that jack.
Yeah, so I can get that jack. Yeah. I'm going to remember the time the parts or whatever on the bottom of the bus are going to remind me of the time that my father was working on a car.
Mm-hmm.
My first car with me. I don't know what it would be. It'd be like a fucking lowrider or some shit, you know.
Right.
We were chroming it out, and the chrome and the parts reminds me of that.
Okay.
So I'm going to pick up this jack.
Okay.
Yep.
All right. So, yeah, you ride on the bottom of the bus until you get to the financial district.
Okay.
And,
I just basically let go.
You let go, and...
Yeah.
You see, as you let go, you skid underneath some dude's, like, parked BMW and get stuck. And the car alarm starts going off.
I'm going to punch it to see if I can get it to turn off. Because the noise startled me.
So you're going to try to deactivate the car alarm. Okay, there's a 9.
Okay. Flip. Oh, shit, but if I risk this, then I might lose my car.
But the only way to resist is to discard your car, right?
Discard my car, that's true, so I guess I'll take the chance. No, damn it, GM wins ties, though.
You can use your weapon.
I can use my weapon, and I'm going to.
This pretty much calls for your weapon.
I'm going to use my weapon to basically use the chrome plating to punch through the fucking car hood.
Okay.
And or make a real sizable dent in it.
Flip the card.
Oh, queen.
Oh. Draw another card.
Damn it. The weapon use is getting... Okay, yeah. Now I'm going to narrate a memory.
In order to get the queen.
In order to get that queen.
Yeah.
Where I was sitting in my car parked outside the grocery store.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody came up and hit on the hood of the car and said, "Get out, man, get out."
Okay.
And I was carjacked, basically. And my homie was with me in the back.
And he was in his wheelchair.
And he was in his wheelchair, so he couldn't really do anything.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just kind of sitting there. And I was scared. I was so scared that I pissed myself.
Okay.
And then the memory fades out.
Okay. All right. So you punch through the hood of the car.
Yep.
Car alarm goes off.
Okay.
Boom.
Nice. So now that I'm in the master, what task does he have for me now?
He wants you to break into, the headquarters.
Mm.
Get up to the CEO's office and wait there in his closet or wherever, in his personal toilet, you know.
Yeah.
In his private bathroom when he comes in the morning.
Okay.
And then basically... toss him through the window or whatever, yeah.
Okay. I'm going to go to the front desk.
Okay.
And I'm going to...
Now, the building's locked up because it's after 6. Everyone's gone home.
Okay, I'll just punch a hole through the front door.
It's plexiglass.
Oh, it's plexiglass. Okay. Huh. Can I punch it really hard? Can I use my weapon to punch that shit?
Well, I mean, you don't have to use your weapon. You could try without using your weapon.
Oh, okay.
Just to resolve the task.
Yeah, that's what I'll do.
Joker comes up.
Oh, Joker is up. Okay. Now, what does...
I guess we... Now, does that mean that we automatically go to endgame?
When a Joker comes up, set it aside. The next scene will be the last.
The next scene. Okay.
Okay.
Well, that's actually mine, though.
Oh, you're right. Yeah. Oh, damn it.
That queen is mine.
Fuck! 3.
Now, it occurs to me that when I'm given the chance to draw a card, I've been drawing off the top of the deck, but maybe I should be drawing from my pile.
I don't think so. It doesn't say that.
Well, because that's a new rule. I don't really know how.
Oh,
because you always draw from your pile. I don't know if I should be drawing from my...
Yeah.
I guess that's just something we'll have to... We'll keep doing it how we have been doing it. There's something to ask him.
Okay, yeah, that would...
Okay, so you're probably going to have to use your weapon here since you just flipped up a 3.
Yep. Okay, I'm going to use my weapon to, well, I've got chrome fists.
Yeah.
So I'm going to try to, as I said, just punch through, brute force it, basically.
Okay. I get to draw a card. Ooh, you just tied
it. I just tied it, yep. That sucks.
Do you, you can still narrate a memory to get that queen in your hand.
I can do that.
So then you can discard a bullshit card when you have to discard.
That's true, you're right. Okay, I'm gonna be reminded of the time that I, that I was at home and the police were knocking loudly on my door. Like, come out. Is your brother in there? And I was like, no, he's not. And he's sitting in his wheelchair. I put a blanket over his wheelchair or something to try to hide him, and the police kicked my door in.
Okay.
And they roughed me up, but they didn't find my brother. So, that is a memory.
Okay.
I'll discard this bullshit.
You can pick that one up, and you're discarding your jack. What did you have in there? Two jacks and a queen?
No, just a jack and a queen.
Oh, so now you've got two queens.
Two queens, yeah. I shouldn't be telling you, but...
yeah,
well,
no,
I guess it doesn't matter anyway, yeah. Because...
yeah, because there's no bidding component.
There's no bidding, yeah.
Okay.
Okay, so we finish this scene up.
Okay, so... okay, in the last scene, based on your memories, one of the following is at stake. Whether a thing you cherished will be placed beyond harm.
Mm-hmm.
Whether a regret will be made right.
Mm-hmm.
Whether unfinished business will be completed.
Mm-hmm.
The master's orders will be such that either what is at stake is at risk, mm-hmm. or you have the opportunity to accomplish both at the same time. Personally, I like the former more than the latter.
Yeah, that what you have at stake is at risk.
Take the cards in your hand, draw up to 5. If you have more than 5, take the best cards to make the poker hand. Yeah, the GM will draw 5 cards at random, but that's changed by this.
Okay, so I only have 2 cards in my hand.
Right. Okay, but you get to draw an additional 5 and make best.
Do cards. I draw from here?
But first, you have to decide what's at stake.
Right. So
And I guess you decide this, not the GM. It doesn't make it clear, but I would think you would decide.
Yeah. I'm going to say, since a lot of my memories were about my brother,
yeah.
I was going to say that my brother is the sanctity of my brother's corpse is at stake. So
how's the sanctity of your brother?
Because maybe he's found his grave, too, or something.
But that doesn't... I mean, where you are right now doesn't really...
yeah, that's true.
...get you...
yeah, I'm trying to think of...
man, I have a suggestion for a Sixth Sense-style twist here.
Okay.
I'm going to say that maybe all of your previous memories were actually... because remember, your memories are... you don't really have a clear grasp on what you're seeing because you don't really know who you are.
Right.
So I'm going to say that the identity in your memories were actually inverted.
Oh, so it was me.
And that you were the paralyzed brother who got killed.
Yeah.
And that your brother, who was so protective of you, is the security guard working at the Chrysler building now.
Yeah.
And that he comes up to the door to try to, you know, find out what's going down out here, and you need to get through him in order to get in the building.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
And the master's like, you know, punch him in the face, kill him, get in there.
Oh, okay, right. Okay, so I'll have to draw up the 5 cards. From here, or is it from this deck?
It's from here. Okay. We each draw 5 from there. You draw... yeah, you would always want to draw 5. I don't know why you would ever draw less.
5. Yep. I have a joker in my hand. Is that... why is there...
Discard it and draw another card. Yeah. I guess there shouldn't be a second joker.
Whoops.
Now, I hope... okay, yeah, but this is the one we shuffled.
That's
in,
the one
so,
we shuffled.
Okay.
In there, yeah.
Okay. And I'll draw 5. 1, 2. 3. 4. 2, 3, 4. 5. And I have to make the best possible hand out of this.
Okay.
No, can't do that.
Now, what is a... give me some poker hands that are good, because I don't play poker that much.
Okay.
I think I see one. I think
the highest possible hand is a straight flush.
Right.
A straight flush is cards that are in numerical order.
Okay.
And also the same suit.
Okay.
Then below that is four of a kind. That's four cards with the same number.
Okay.
Below that is a flush. Five cards of the same suit. Below that is a straight. Five cards in numerical order.
Mm-hmm.
Below... Ooh, wait a second. I fucked up. A full house is... No, I think a full house is
full
right
house
below
is at
a
the bottom,
straight.
Right?
No, it's not at the bottom. Oh. A full house is below a straight.
Okay.
Below a full house is three of a kind. Below three of a kind is two pair. Below two pair is one pair. Below one pair is high card.
High card, okay. Did you say two pair is one?
Two pair is one, but it's well below... Two pair is the one of the lowest possible hands. It's just above one pair. One pair, excuse me.
What is one pair?
One pair is the lowest thing.
That's below. The lowest shit ever.
Well, high card is lower than that.
Okay, and I think... Damn it, I have a pretty awful
hand. You don't have a straight? Because a straight's very high. If you have
not one. The same suit.
Doesn't have to be the same suit.
Oh, doesn't have to be. Okay.
You can have a straight without it being the same suit. The only thing that would beat that would be a flush, four of a kind, or a straight flush.
How many cards does it have to be in a straight?
Five. It has to be all
no,
five.
No, I don't have
okay. any. Yeah, your hand is ultimately going to be a five-card hand.
Yep.
I actually don't think I have much here either, honestly, even with all the drawing I got to do.
I know. Yeah, I don't have shit.
Yeah, I have a pretty lousy hand here.
Yeah, I have a fucking awful hand.
Got pretty close to straight, but...
Yeah, I'm very close to a straight, but... Well, that's bullshit, dude. Wow, you have a shit ton of cards.
Yeah.
Wow.
And I still got a really lousy hand.
Alright.
Okay, I just
don't even have a five-card hand.
No, you have to make a five-card hand.
Oh, yeah, okay. Well,
keep the best cards you have, and then if you've got four cards, take your highest card from what's left. So take your high card from the remaining cards.
Okay.
Okay. So what do you have?
Alright. I have...
Your high card would be an ace if you have an ace.
Oh, okay.
Ace is always high card.
Gotcha. I have that. Yep, I have this.
You have queens. Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, you have a. Wait, what is that?
That's a 5, 6, 7.
No. The partial straight doesn't count for anything.
Yeah. So.
So you have a pair though. So a pair is better than a hand without a pair that has nothing in it.
I have a pair and a high card then.
You don't have two pair?
Nope.
Oh. I had two pair.
Damn
twos,
it.
Twos, tens, and an eighth.
Really?
Yep.
Oh, but how many times did you draw?
I drew four times. No, nope. I drew six times.
Six times?
Six times, and the best I got was a... Two pair. So, tens over twos with an ace. So, I won that, so I guess the master's will be done.
Yep, so he punches his brother right in the face. And basically breaks his jaw or something, or sends his teeth back into his throat.
Goes in the building?
Yep.
Okay, and I think that's end.
Yeah, right? End game. So that was close, even though he didn't...
It was reasonably close,
yeah.
I think the new rules almost shift the balance...
To the
master's favor. I kind of think that he could go back to having the soldier win on ties.
I think so, too, because
without
there are three ties
the
in that
balance.
Game.
Yeah.
Yeah. There were three ties and the weapon got used an awful lot, so.
Yeah. Yeah, so that is, it. I don't see an issue with balance here. It definitely wasn't the soldier walking away with all of that.
Right.
It seems like, I like the fact, I think that having, letting the master draw a card makes it so something's at stake when you use your weapon.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that, it seemed like game balance was pretty close to being right, but yeah. I definitely think the soldier should be winning on ties.
Should be winning
now.
On ties, yeah.
Because, and I definitely don't think there's any need for that additional rule where you can't use cards that are less than or greater than what's in your hand or whatever.
Yeah, that was kind of confusing.
Less than the value in your hand. It was confusing to begin with, and I don't really think that additional restriction is necessary.
Mm.
Having played it through, I...
Yeah.
Didn't see a problem here. You want to try again with roles reversed?
No, I'm good for now.
You're good for now?
Yeah.
Because I wasn't sure if maybe we could see if it was still balanced in the second playthrough here.
Hmm. No, I'm good.
You're good?
Yep.
Any other thoughts?
I thought it was pretty fun, though. It ran smoothly.
It ran smooth, yeah. Yeah, I think it ran fine. I think mechanically it ran very smoothly.
I like the way the cards kind of move the play along.
Right.
Sort of. Because even without me just narrating,
mm-hmm.
it still didn't feel like there was any downtime or there was any, you know.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Yeah, the cards make resolution very fast and keep the game moving, I think.
Yeah.
And that's something that I think is a real risk at with a twosie if you
right.
have moments when even one player goes down to try to figure something out and the other player is just, like, there.
Right.
So, I think pretty good. I mean, I don't
yeah,
know how many complaints. I think game is structured well. I didn't have
yeah,
any problem at
yeah.
all with the game structure.
And it's good for a short, like, the action moves pretty quick, so it's good for a short, like, twosie session.
Mm. Yeah.
If you find yourself like us,
90%
of the time where there's no group. Well, not 90%, but like 40% of the time.
40, 50% of the time.
Yeah.
We're always short for a fourth player.
Yeah, we are.
But usually we can get Mr. Mike.
Yeah. Yep, well that was Brett Gillen's Cold Soldier.
Yeah. Fun stuff.
A fun game.
So, tune in next time when hopefully Mike will be around.
He'll be not sick yet.
Yeah. We can have some fun with Mr. Mike.
Yeah.
Okay.
Roger.
So that Mom's Basement Podcast.
Yep.
Yep.
Episode 20.
Ooh.
Oh, we're getting up there.
Yeah, we are. Running out of web space.
Yeah, and that's one reason I wanted to kind of keep it short so we don't have to...